Welcome to Unity. My name is Teresa Belden, and I'm honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in the sanctuary and everyone online. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can watch our services anytime on demand or on our website or on YouTube. Today, you can join Mike Opsat this afternoon at 12 p.m. to explore healing emotional wounds through spiritual transformation. Mike's workshop will explore oneness, consciousness, and how being loving and loved by spirit is part of the healing process. Reverend Vern Bittner will be our guest speaker next Sunday, January 28th, and Vern will be signing his new book, Amazing Grace, which is the selection for Reverend Pat's Minister's Book Group beginning February 1st. Books are available in the bookstore. We're pleased to welcome Reverend Phil Smedstead as our guest speaker on Sunday, February 4th. He'll also lead an afternoon workshop, Raising Your Self-Esteem, at 12:30 p.m. that day. Are you ready to redefine prosperity? Delve into teachings that transcend material wealth and foster a life of true richness. Reverend Tony and Karen Oney will share the wisdom of Charles Fillmore, Eric Butterworth, and newcomer Lynn Twist. That'll be Wednesday evenings beginning February 7th. and we're supporting local youth experiencing homelessness with gifts of personal hygiene products. Your donations can be make a real difference. So pick up a shopping list or visit our website. We're accepting donations through February 11th, and then you can help pack the supplies on Saturday, February 17th. 2024 is a big year for Unity Minneapolis. It will be important to stay connected while we meet at a temporary location during our building renovation. Join Reverend Tony next Sunday to explore how we continue on the path of intentional spiritual growth, community connections, and prayer support in the coming year. Don't miss it at 12 p.m. in the Fillmore Room on Sunday, January 28th. And I hear Jay Berger generously donated some Subway turkey sandwiches. So head to the Friendship Hall after service and then grab a sandwich. And now Reverend Kevin will lead us in our opening prayer.
Please join me in prayer. Just allow yourself the gift of this now moment. Allow yourself to just settle into right now, taking a deep breath, just allowing whatever was occurring before right now, just let it go for a while. Breathing in a sense of gratitude for the gift of life, gratitude for the gift of this day. We breathe in a sense of gratitude for this spiritual community. We recognize where we are individually in terms of what we may be feeling right now, be that sadness, joy, any combination thereof, and we honor those feelings. We honor those feelings. Sweet Spirit, birther of all that is, we begin this service with a sense of gratitude. Gratitude for the many blessings that we stand in each moment. As we begin and enter into this new year, we do so with a sense of individual and collective purpose, with a sense of wisdom and guidance, with a sense of optimism and hope. And we stand in that place and seeing our world transformed one person at a time by love, by peace, and by compassion. We see that made manifest right now. And for this and so much more, we say thank you. Thank you, sweet Spirit. And so it is. Amen. I think this day deserves to be celebrated. If you would, join me. Please stand as you choose for our opening song, Witness.
To be, and so. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. All right. That was good. Good morning to those coming in live stream as well. Welcome today to Unity Minneapolis. And what a blessed day it is. The sun is shining. And we've got a heat wave going. What a blessing it is to be here, to be part of this group, to have Joanne back with us. Music and
Ben.
I thought it's a new face.
Benjamin,
welcome. Good morning. Yeah, let's hear it for the group. Unity Minneapolis is an amazing community. It is blessed. It is a welcoming, inclusive community. And one of the things that we really love to do is welcome our visitors. Those folks who come in maybe for the first time. And we want to make sure that we say welcome. So our ushers have beautiful yellow roses today and a packet. And I'd like to ask those of you who are here for the first time in the sanctuary to raise your hand and let us know who you are. Visitors, there's one coming in the door right back there. Don't you love it? Anybody else climbing visitation rights today? Well, welcome. Those of you coming in live stream, if you are visitors with us as well, there are instructions on the screen in terms of how to fill out our contact card. Glad you're here with us. That packet you got is got a card in it and some information about Unity. Please fill that card out. Those of you online, make sure you get it to us. Those here, our one visitor here, make sure you get that into us. We have a gift, and we want to say hi. We want to welcome you. We want to welcome those here and also those coming in live stream, because you are part of our community, and we feel you live stream as we do. You know what, guys? Turn around. Say hi. Wave. Hey, there you go. Let them know that we know they're there. And that we feel their connection with us. We are an inclusive community. We are a welcoming community. And we have a mission. We have a mission. It's here in your order of service. And I'd like to ask you to share that mission with me. And let's say it from our heart. From that place that we know this is who and what we are. And our mission is to be this. So together, let us say, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous, spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. That is absolutely true. And so I realized after I left here last Sunday that I forgot to say the one thing that we always say on the platform, that I couldn't forget today, and what was that? Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. And that is so very true. Welcome. And now we'll ask Jim if he would read our daily word for us today.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to the prayer box After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is energetic. So we affirm, the limitless energy of Spirit flows through me. I smile as I watch children at play. Their boundless energy seems so natural, so effortless. When I want to reclaim this same zeal and enthusiasm for myself, I remember these divine gifts are already within me. Centered in this awareness, I feel renewed vitality. As I take care of my family, move through my workday, enjoy time with dear ones, or volunteer in my community, I engage it all with enthusiasm and feel my energy build. If I feel my enthusiasm faltering, I don't despair. Instead, I pause for a moment to feel the quickening energy of Spirit, the divine life and strength that are flowing through me. As I am revitalized, the world feels new. I shimmer with energy and go about doing all I feel called to do. And Scripture tells us in Colossians 1:11, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And the word for today is energetic.
So we take this time now to go back inside, to go inside with the breath, to go inside to that place, that center, that sanctuary within us. That place that is God. That place that connects us, through which God flows. With each breath, we allow ourselves to go deeper and deeper. And with each breath, we open our minds and our hearts, our very beings, to all that is. We still our mind. We allow our bodies to be at one with the moment. We feel the love, the energy, the connection. Within this room, expanding out into those who come to us through technology. And beyond that, out into our world. Take another deep breath. Let go. Be still. Here in these words, written by Mark Nepo, to see with love. Each of us spins repeatedly from blindness to radiance, from dividedness to wholeness. And it is our impulse to stay in touch with all that is alive that keeps us from staying lost. It is the impulse to be intimate. It brings to mind the young blind French boy, Jacques Lurthran, who in learning how to navigate his way among the other forms of life in his darkness, stumbled onto the secret of undivided living. Young Lurthran said, "It is more than seeing them. It is tuning in on them and allowing the current they hold to connect with one's own like electricity. To put it differently, it means an end of living in front of things and a beginning of living with them, with them." Never mind if the word sounds shocking, for this is love. To live with things and not in front of them. To no longer watch, but to realize that we are part of everything we see. This is the love that keeps us moving back into wholeness when divided. To love by admitting our connection to everything is how we stay well, allowing the current of another's inwardness to connect with our own is the beginning of both intimacy and enlightenment. So now, with your eyes closed, let us be still. Be still until we can sense the presence of the things that are about us, around us. Let us breathe softly and feel the current of the silence of those around you. Breathe evenly. And open your heart to all that you sense. Feel the electricity of being. The electricity of being that informs the world. Feel the love and the silence. And so we allow the current of another's inwardness to connect with our own. And this is the beginning of both intimacy and enlightenment. And so it is.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken heart people living in the world grieve, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance, there's still a chance that they may see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Wow. In speaking with Lori before service, she said, there'll be no need to dust the cobwebs off the rafters with Joanne singing just, for us today.
We're blowing them up.
Am I still allowed to say Happy New Year, or have we gotten to that expiration date? I'm a bit of a rule breaker, so I don't care what your stand is on this. Happy New Year. Another question might be, how happy has your new year been thus far? And for me, if I'm being honest, there's been some sadness and grief. There's been some bitterness. And for sure, there has been some sweetness. I suspect most of you, if not all of you, can relate to that. A little side note, when we come in on Sundays, oftentimes there is rumbling with our camera crew if Reverend Kevin is preaching, because the camera crew is warned he's a pacer, he's a walker. And today, I was challenged to walk even more. And I love a good challenge. So challenge accepted. So here at Unity Minneapolis, our theme for this year is all about trusting change, all about trusting change. And a while back when Reverend Pat, Reverend Tony, and I met to talk about and plan out the year in terms of themes and lessons and so forth, there was a fair amount of debate. Lots of debate. And one common thing that we could absolutely agree upon was change and the importance of change, things that we had been through the last few years, things we're in the midst of right now in terms of change. And as you think about the coming year, relocating, building, renovation, all of that, one common denominator is all about change. So change is the order of the day. Change is the order of the coming year. So get used to it. The bottom line is that if change is prevalent, can we agree that is so? And it is a fact of the human condition, we have a choice about what we're going to do with regard to that change. We can ignore it and pretend it's not there, or we can perhaps proactively explore some of this, look at some of those principles or best practices about delving into change, and look at change and experiencing change and engaging in change as the potential of a spiritual discipline or spiritual practice. In other words, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable, and the growth that is linked with change, that is optional. Change is inevitable. The growth, whether that be individual, community, or global growth, that is optional. To guide us in our change journey, we are using a book that some of you are likely familiar with from our fall book study, Trusting Change: Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation by Reverend Karen Herring. And we are using that as a bit of a guidebook to map our way through the coming year and how do we handle all this change stuff. And at the outset, she lays some foundational premises about change, including that change itself can ideally be used as that spiritual practice. She invites us all to have a fundamentally different relationship with change, perhaps, than we have had in the past. She tells us, with our uniquely human propensity for foresight and reason, we understand the world is meant to change. And because we understand that, in our fear of the unknown, we often do everything we can to deny it or prevent it. We miss the opportunities we are given to plow and plant the most fertile ridges beneath our feet, the holy ground of change. The holy ground of change. In the book, she says, is intended to help us learn to trust change, to honor its place in the world, and in our ability to intentionally participate in it for individual and collective transformation. At the outset of the book, she describes the concept of a caterpillar's transformation, transforming from that larva into that beautiful monarch. And she uses this as a metaphor for our own individual lives as far as our individual transformation. And she emphasizes that the importance of always beginning within, always beginning within as we navigate change, especially. From her book, she says, "You know this story, learned it as a child, maybe even watched it up close. But listen as I tell it again from the inside. It begins so quietly you cannot hear it, and so small you can barely see it. Each monarch egg attached to the underside of the milkweed leaf is the size of a small white period. But that is misleading. This is not a sentence that has ended. Each of these periods marks a possible beginning. Here on the inside is where I call your attention. Like many mysteries, it happens out of sight. But listen, can you hear it humming? Can you feel it? The humming in this story that calls to each of us now. Are you listening to the ancient rhythms resounding in between old instructions for new arrangements? Beckoning us to ask, who are we becoming? In the chaos of great change, what imaginal possibilities are waiting to awaken in you, in me, in us, in our world? Are you willing to let go of what you now know to become something new?" Powerful question. Are you willing to let go of what you now know for the possibility of something new, something different? Today's all about personal change, and not change for the sake of change, not personal change for the worse, but personal change for the better. Specifically, this is about positive change related to personal and spiritual growth. Change related to my soul growth and my expanding consciousness. It's about each of us bringing our best selves forward each and every day, bringing that anew each and every day. Personal transformation begins at the level of our minds. You know this already, so I'm being a bit redundant, but I suspect you've heard for sure from Romans, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." Heard that before? Yeah, I figured. Simply put, renewing your mind means interpreting life through the lens of spiritual principle. Interpreting things through the lens of spiritual principle instead of the lenses of our experiences, our woundedness, our trauma, our preference, or the opinions of others. In Ephesians chapter 4, 23 to 25, we are encouraged to let go of old ways and be made new in the attitude of our minds. Once again, transformation begins as an inside job, begins within mind. Listen to this. "Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteousness, holy and true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other." Two key points from Paul in this passage. Number one, the need for us to renew our thoughts and our attitudes, and this idea that we are one with our neighbor. Have you ever heard this idea of oneness before? Good. From a different perspective, Gandhi tells us, "Be the change that you want to see in the world." Be the change that you want to see in the world. If I want more peace in the world, I need to look within first and create and cultivate a greater sense of peacefulness for myself. What do we sing about each and every Sunday? Where does peace begin? With me, yeah. And Gandhi tells us that in order to make an effective change in the world, we must first alter our internal and personal nature. Again, saying the same words that we talk about here, but just in some different language. Let me set some broader context. In case you're not aware, we recently began a new year. Here at Unity Minneapolis, we've talked about the ideas of new beginnings, fresh starts, all those beginning anew, and beginning this idea in this new year with a clean slate. Many of us took part in that burning bowl ritual where we deliberately and symbolically released what we did not wish to carry with us into the new year, burning that up in the nothingness. And folks, just because we did the ritual does not necessarily mean that the work is done. And so for me, one of the things that I wanted to release was some resentment and anger from this past year. And as I remember some of that stuff, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, every time I remember is another opportunity for me to forgive. So I encourage you to do the same on that, if that makes sense. The good news about some of those resentment and anger types of memories, they're becoming less frequent as I practice that forgiveness. Many of you, like me, participated in the White Stone ritual, where we got to meditate and consider and really declare, what is it that Spirit is calling forth from me this coming year? What is my new name? What is my intent? What do I want to co-create with Spirit as I move into this new year? And then we literally wrote that down on a white stone, most of us. Now, both of these rituals, I think, are powerful, very powerful symbols of personal transformation. And if you did not participate in either one of those, it's not too late. Not too late. Have you ever heard of the concept, the fresh start effect? The fresh start effect? And generally, at the start of a new year, individually and collectively, we feel this sense of optimism, this sense of possibility and promise. Get a sense of that in terms of new year and so forth. And we're much more optimistic. Usually, though, it's followed by then an uptick in motivation, where we're doing things that are more about creating that new, being more optimistic, more forward-thinking. And research tells us we're much more inspired and motivated to take action. Usually this is around those types of milestones like the new year. Did you feel that at the beginning of the year? Okay, so the science proves out. And so then what happens after that? What happens after that? What's that? Real life happens. Real life happens, and we go back to sometimes the habits and patterns that are part of the past. And so then that optimism, that promise, that hopefulness tends to diminish. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this, but I'm going to ask you to think about, in the last couple weeks, has some of that optimism, that motivation diminished a bit? Especially as those of us that sort of live and operate in a cold and gray climate the last few weeks. In my corporate work, I often coach executives from all over the globe. And one of the most powerful tools that I use when I'm in that executive coaching situation is the tool of accountability. The tool of accountability. And when I talk about accountability, it's simply asking some questions in terms of how are things going, what happened, did you make progress, what got in the way. It's not to blame or shame or cause someone to feel bad about what they did or did not do based on what they said they were going to do and committed to, but it's looking to explore some of that in a genuine, curious way in order to understand them and help them to get past some of those obstacles so they are better on track to go in the direction that they have said is important. So, as a pretty good, as well as a very expensive executive coach, I'm offering you the gift of accountability today. And so some questions that I would like you to consider is, how are things going with what you intended to let go and not bring into the new year? Have some of those things, thoughts, ideas, situations, creep their way into the new year? You find yourself sometimes holding on to some of those things or revisiting some of those negative thoughts and feelings. And folks, this is not to make you bad and wrong, but just to simply ask the question, what is getting in the way? That's your intent. Dust it off. Revisit that if it's important. What's your intent for the new year? Do you remember what you declared with the White Stone Service, for example? What deliberate steps have you taken, deliberately moving you towards that future state vision that you declared at one point not that long ago? And again, this is not to make you bad or wrong, but to ask the question, what's getting in the way so that you can figure that out so that you can move towards your heart's desires? As we look at personal transformation and change in general, I think it's important to look at the concept of change itself. And change is really easy to talk about, but much more difficult to manage and to deal with. And yet the truth is, if we are not changing, if we are not dealing with change, we're likely dead. Simple as that. From a psychological perspective, and in generally speaking, most human beings don't readily embrace change. It's part of that human condition, and this can be measured. And I think about change hardiness versus change resistance. I think about that as a continuum. Some of us as human beings are a little bit more change hardy. Some of us are a little bit more change resistant. It's just kind of how we are wired from a style and personality perspective. So it's important to know yourself. Are you more change hardy or are you more change resistant? Because that may be something that you get to work with in terms of making some different choices, trying some new things. By nature, I may be open to different experiences because I'm a little bit more change hardy, different situations, different people. By nature, I may be a little bit more reserved and closed off, so I'm not as open to things that are new and different. I might not have the psychological safety or comfort to move into a new direction because of some of that fear or hesitancy. Additionally, our human resistance to change is linked with our locus of control. Our resistance to change is really linked to our locus of control. So if I have something that's on the outside being put upon me, it's more likely I'm going to be resistant to that change. It'll be much more difficult for me to navigate. Where if it's a change that I am initiating from my internal motivation and drive, it's more likely, in spite of some of that resistance, I'm going to be more likely and inclined to move forward around some of that. So just being aware that we have both those changes being imposed upon us, as well as the stuff that we're trying to cultivate on our own. Something like the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job is certainly a change, a significant change that's from the outside, much more difficult for me to deal with and manage versus my deliberate decision to potentially exercise more because that's my intent for this new year. Again, finding where we're motivated. Reverend Karen, in her book, is very clear that regarding change, we are in this together. We are in this together. And she talks about that change is a shared responsibility and task. And she specifically offers this concept called change echoes. And it's a concept that she described is how individual changes impact the collective, and changes going on within the collective impact the individual. And as we grow and change for the better, there's a ripple effect out into the broader system. It also gives people permission to do more of the same for themselves. All boats rise on the same tide. Reverend Karen tells us, when we experience change on a personal level, its disturbance will bounce back from changes happening on a shared community or global levels, amplifying any changes that we encounter, or vice versa. Rather than becoming overwhelmed by these echoes or shutting them out, we can make use of them on one level to participate in shaping change occurring on other levels. Because the skills needed for healthy participation in global change are directly related to the skills needed for shaping change in our intimate lives and the other way around. We can move to the rhythms of change reverberating at any one level and they will support our participation in other levels. Another way of saying this is that we are all one. Any change within any part of the system impacts the broader system. For example, if I personally grow and heal because of my forgiveness work, that will have a positive ripple effect out into the world. If the community or a community has a significant loss, that grief will echo within individuals as well as the broader system. We are needed. We are indeed living within this inescapable web of interdependency. We are all in this together. Reverend Herring provides two key insights and skills, specific skills, which I think are especially relevant for today. Her first skill that she talks about in her book is this idea of letting go, and the second skill is about grieving. And sometimes we have no choice but to let go because something has occurred that's beyond our control. It could be something being ripped away from us, whether that be a loved one, our health, a job, whatever it might be. Other times we're deliberate about choosing what we're letting go of because it no longer serves us. That said, letting go of the good for the great can be extremely challenging. Very soon we will be letting go of this building as we now know it. You realize that? Second skill is all about grieving. And grief is a recognition and honoring of what was. And as a culture, I think we're lousy at grieving and allowing time and space for grief. And yet on many levels, it is essential. It is essential on so many levels to grieve what once was. We grieve the loss of loved ones. We will need to grieve leaving this building. And I'm confident we will have some ritual or some things around that to allow us to honor this space, this what was created here in terms of that ritual of grieving as well as letting go. To best navigate an unknown future, we must know what our true north is. What is our true north? And that's what guides and informs us as we make our way into what is unfamiliar, or make our way into the unknown. Our true north emerges from our deepest convictions and is informed by internal feelings and nudges, as well as correlates with external markers from the world. Reverend Karen invites us to consider our own true north. She asks, what is your magnetic north? And are you tuning into it on the threshold as you navigate the unknown and unseen terrain? Opening our whole being to the vibrations within and around us and learning to correlate them with whatever we claim as our magnetic north is less dependent on our ears and auditory nerves than it is on our ability to listen with our hearts. Becoming quiet and still and listening for that still small voice from within. Simply put, we are better equipped to navigate change and the unknown when we know who we are and whose we are. And when we are awake enough to listen to our heart, our own lessons of experience and wisdom, the collective wisdom. My true north is based on our 5 unity principles. My true north is based in the belief that all things work together for good. Even then, when I don't understand it or when it doesn't make sense, I try to lean into that idea, all things work together for good. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. And sometimes I need to have others remind me of that as well. That's what spiritual community is all about. In closing, I invite each of you to check in with yourself about your personal intent for this new year. Where are you with regard to letting go of what no longer serves you? Where are you with that? Take some time this week and reflect on that. What is your heart's desire or desires for this coming year? What are you looking to co-create? What is calling forth from your deepest being in terms of spirit calling and guiding you towards what's for you this year? And what steps will you take this week to move you forward in that direction around your aspirations, around your desires? Remember, change is inevitable. You got that message?
Yes.
Growth is optional. Growth is optional. And so I challenge you to take that growth track, take it deliberately. What will you do to grow personally and spiritually this week, this month, this year? And so it is.
It's late, but I couldn't wait to call you on the phone. It's been a while since I've been home. All of this was my own choice. Since the man upstairs has given me this voice, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard the breaks, I've got to use it or lose it. I just can't stand to refuse the chance to do what I gotta do. I've got to sing my song, sing the hatred into love, sing a praise to the man above, sing the tears into us. Till I feel that this is all worthwhile. Sing it high, sing it low. Sing from deep within my soul. Sing it loud and sing it clear. Sing so everyone can hear. And if it feels like what I've chosen might be wrong, well, I'd be nothing if I couldn't sing. By the way, may I say thank you for the love you've shown all of these years since I've been born. Papa thought I was college bound. You expected me to settle down, not ignoring what you had in mind. Neither do I want to seem unkind, for I give up. I've got to live up to the challenge to do my thing. I have got to cut loose these April strings. I've got to sing my song. Oh, sing the hatred into love. Oh, I'm gonna sing a praise to the man above. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sing the cheers into
Thank you.
All right, then.
Are we not glad that she gets to sing her song? Woo! Oh, yeah. Joanne, thank you. Lori, thank you. Dave, thank you. Ben, thank you. Yes. We are blessed, are we not? We are blessed. And while I'm thanking, I'm going to thank our ASL over here, our cameras, our sound. You know, guys, come on. Jiminy crickets. It is that blessing that I hold in my heart when I don't write a check anymore. I push a button on my computer and it says, do this. But you know what I mean? It is that blessing that I hold in my heart when I make that gift back to Unity. And so I ask you today to hold that blessing in your heart as you make a gift to Unity, a donation to Unity today. There are multiple ways to do that. Those of you who are coming in live stream, you will have information there. Here we've got QR codes, envelopes, checks, cash, Venmo, PayPal. We have a plethora of ways to do it. And it's important for us to do it from our heart, from a place of blessing and of return of that blessing. So I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come forward now. And as they do, I would ask you to take your hands and see your gift. Use that gift of imaging imagination that we all have and see the gift in your hand in whatever form it takes. Bless it. Feel the heart of it and the love of it. And know that as you give, the cycle continues. We give, we receive. We give, and others receive from this community. It is how we do accomplish our mission. So join with me now, holding that gift in your hand, and let us say together our offertory blessing. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And so it is.
We breathe in a sense of gratitude and appreciation, and we bless these gifts, all the gifts that have been received in the mail and electronically as well. We bless them and send them forth to fulfill our vision and our mission of a transformed world through love, peace, and compassion. And we say thank you, sweet spirit, And so it is. Amen. Asking our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early to hold sacred space for all of us. They're here to pray with you if you so choose. They will hold what they hear in the strictest of confidence. And I promise it'll be a blessing for them as well as for you. If you're joining us via technology, there's a couple of phone numbers if you're looking for prayer, one-on-one prayer as well. Reverend Tony, would you join me up here, please?
Yes. Last week, we recognized and honored passing of one of our most beloved, Pat Samples. I'd also want to acknowledge the passing last Saturday of Brian Brooks. Brian had been working with cancer for a while. He and Pat were close, and I find it fascinating that they left this world on the same day. We'll know more. We'll have a celebration of life for Brian at the end of February, and we're still waiting on the information for Pat. As soon as we know, we'll let you know. But wanted to hold the two of them and Brian today in our hearts and his family as we move forward and hold them all in that love and light as they make their final transformation.
Thank you, Reverend Tony. Mm-hmm. Do we have young ones out there? Let's bring them in.
I think we probably do. I think we do.
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light.
Good morning. Today in YES, we talked about how flowers and a bouquet of flowers are like friendships. We all have our unique gifts, our unique ways of being, and yet we make each other better. And our Unitines in YOU are still upstairs, deep in their lesson on the silence. So ask them about that. And happy Sunday, everyone.
Let's take a minute to, for sure, appreciate how we teach and take care of our youngins and our adult volunteers. Let's do our prayer for protection and then our peace song. And as we do our peace song, I invite you just to hold our world in a place of peace. It's a prayer. So first off, prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well.
God is our creator, and we are
for helping us out on the hymn.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, and I'll rise up. I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. I'll rise up. I'll rise like the waves. I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand. Silence isn't quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet and move mountains. We're gonna take the world to its feet and
much.
Yeah. Yeah, Joanne.